our relationships with our kids and our understanding of them, and then as we kind of sometimes get the rawer picture of ourselves, how much we are able to see our Heavenly Father in such a clearer lens.
Back with me today is Craig Stickling and Brian Suter. We've started a conversation in a podcast series on parenting. And so we've talked a little bit about, cast a little bit of vision of, and the optimism of being an educator and being a teacher to our children. And what might we want them to know and understand and produce, and the optimism there. And so now there's something very central, prerequisite, in a sense, in order to make this teacher-student relationship work, or parent-child. And what is that?
One of the fundamental realities in Scripture is all about relationship. Relationship, first and foremost, with the Lord. And in this context, we're going to be talking about is relationship between parent and child. And if you don't have that as a foundation of instruction, your ability to instruct their hearts is going to be very, very limited.
Kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that relation piece that we're just sharing about here today is really going to drive that home about sending the message that how much we care about our kids and what the gift that they are to us from God.
You know, it all starts with relationship, doesn't it? And I mean biologically starts.
Yeah.
Our children are our children. They are our progeny. They come from the relationship we have with our spouses. And now they have sonship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So before the lessons start, there is a biological relationship, and that's not by accident.
Yeah, that's right. And in that, we just to see the wonder of that, the excitement of that, and then to be able to move on and say, okay, that's where it starts. God starts us there. But I can't just rest on the biological connection that's given, and I want to grow that and for it to be beyond that, and it starts there, and how do we grow that to a place of more than just biological?
While it is a default in a sense, it's not enough to carry the relationship. So there is a responsibility we have to the biological relationship. So speak to that responsibility we have, first of its importance, which I think we've already commented on, and then a little bit to the practical how-to. Or what does it look like?
The word responsibility is starting with the piece of that word of our response, right? Matt, you just kind of, what is our response to that?
Yeah.
So we look at that relationship piece, this little child that comes home, this little baby that comes home, and I'm starting my response to look at that as far as that relationship is. And what does that mean from a proximity, from when they're little to their connecting physically close, to then the emotional piece, the sharing piece, the verbal piece, the time piece? There's so many elements that are woven into relationship.
And in that too, we get a very unique opportunity as mom and dad to model relationship with the Lord. So in a sense, like how he relates to us, we get to then pass that down to them and give them a starting place of how to view authority and how to think about God and draw some of those connections, which is a big deal.
Well, now you've just made the connection of relationship, the passing down of relationship. Certainly, everything started in the Trinity, right? Which is relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the story of the Scriptures, that is the gospel, has a lot to do with relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it does seem in step with the pattern here that we then would model relationship and have relationship with our children. If I understand you correctly, this is going to be very important for how our children are going to relate to that ultimate relationship with God that is the ultimate end that we want, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Some have said, and it may not be 100% applicable, but you hear the phrase sometimes of people that will say, well, kind of my view of God was kind of like the view that I had toward my mom or toward my dad. They kind of make that connection first, and then they kind of fill in the, you know, the God blank with that. And so not that we should be fearful of that, but that we should look at that as a great opportunity to say, I want to mirror my Heavenly Father as close as I can for my child.
And the picture, it seems, you know, over and over that I think about relationally between God and His children is Him being the shepherd and us being the sheep. And as you think about that role, you know, I don't know much about shepherding, but from what I understand, the shepherd, there's this intimate connection there where the sheep trust the shepherd and the shepherd leads and the sheep follow. So you see a lot of trust there. And what a beautiful picture, and how that would carry over into parenting then.
See, it would seem to me, again, not a shepherd myself, but there is a doing life together that a shepherd and sheep have.
Mm.
If you didn't want to do life together, I would imagine you'd build a fence. And
right.
You'd just stay in there and I'll be back to check on you, right,
mm-hmm.
while I do my thing. But the shepherd was in the landscape with the sheep.
Mm.
Hence, they knew the voice. Hence, they needed to follow. All right, so let's work that metaphor out. What does that look like with parents and with children as we have this relationship? It must have something to do with walking alongside.
I think be mindful, just as you were sharing that shepherd picture, I was wondering, you know, if the shepherd wakes up one morning and just looks out and goes, I have to do the same thing today that I did yesterday, and I'm going to have to do the same thing tomorrow that I'm going to do today. And there's a lot of that that's in parenting. Yeah,
yeah.
You know what? I'm going to get up. I'm going to do the same thing I did yesterday on behalf of my kids or for my kids or with our kids. And I'm probably going to do that tomorrow. But that part of that mundane element of life has such profound impact because we're able to model a consistent love and care to our kids.
Mm-hmm. I think three things that jump out at me, Matt, and there's probably several others, would be the one that you mentioned there, time together. Like that would be a huge parenting implication. Two would be that our spoken words, like the shepherd speaks, so we as parents need to speak. And then another one would be appropriate touch, that there is some physical connection as well. Those are things that come to mind for me there.
Yeah, I'd like to take each of those separately and maybe look at them a little bit. And we look at the time piece. Time is tough, isn't it?
Sometimes it's like, you know what? Hop in the truck, I'm taking you to Menards, and we're going to push through the aisle, and then we'll be talking, and we'll be looking at some things. You know what? I'm still trying to get my things done as dad, but I have a child with me, and I'm combining those two things. You know, I'm taking quality time and blending it in with just the quantity
so
of what I have in a day.
So what I hear with your saying, Craig, is that it doesn't mean I'm down on the floor with them all the time. It doesn't mean that their schedule necessarily dictates mine and that I'm following them around. But them seeing me and having, you know, proximity and location and time.
And to know that my dad or my mom, they want to be with me.
Yeah.
They want them with me. That understanding is so significant in kids.
And in that reality is that it's going to be harder for you as mom or dad with that. But to be able to see that as being purposeful and that in when there is quantity of time, that naturally there will be moments of quality in there. But the reality here too is this is hard. There isn't a lot of time, so you got to pick those windows and see those windows and be purposeful. And if you get 15 minutes a day, that may be pretty good for a lot of days. And so then to use that time and make sure that you don't miss that.
Remember someone pointing out, why was it interesting when our kids are little and they're wanting to do stuff with us and we're always saying no to them? And then when they get older and we want them to do things with us, then they're always saying no to us.
Interesting.
And that in that, so when you have that time together, then naturally that's going to lead into the others where they get to hear your voice and they get to hear how you're sorting through the fact that the Menards line is really slow today and is really frustrating, or that they don't have the trim, that, you know, they get to see how dad's sorting through this world that he lives in. And that's not always good, but it is good, you know, they get to see those things you do really well, and they get to see those things you really blow, and you get to talk about on the way home, you know what, dad probably, he didn't handle that real well. What do you think about that?
You know, even in those interactions that we might quote unquote say are quality, or we intend to be quality time, whether it be fishing or whether it be a canoe ride or bike ride or whatever, I'm going to confess now that sometimes I do those totally dragging my feet. You know what I mean? I've been called a no daddy. You know, he says no. I mean, right? To your point, Craig. Okay, so I'm going to be a yes daddy today, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, so the request comes at the most opportune time, you know.
Of course.
And I've got to face myself. Am I going to be a no daddy or a yes daddy? Okay, well, yes, it is. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Go get the fishing pole. Grumble, grumble, grumble. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the whole time, I'm just bouncing my knee, wanting to get back to what ever, but they're thrilled with that. You know, sometimes I'm just so thankful to God that they are so grace-filled and forgiving that they'll reflect on that fishing trip or canoe trip as in glowing terms, right? And I'm embarrassed because it wasn't for me.
Right.
And it should have been.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing, journey in the parenting, isn't it? How our relationships with our kids and our understanding of them, and then as we kind of sometimes get the rawer picture of ourselves, how much we are able to see our Heavenly Father in such a clearer lens. I love that learning principle as a dad as I was growing up, to have moments of just to say, oh, I wonder if this is how God looks at me or how much he appreciates my enthusiasm to be with him. It's a great element to also continue to connect us and our relationship to our Heavenly Father.
And to point our children to the Heavenly Father as well when we make those connections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it does. It takes us back into our previous episode of just vision and what do you want for your children. I think it's so easy for us as parents to accidentally portray to our kids, what I want is for you to please me. And just to keep that in mind in our interaction with our children, when we have those opportunities to interact with them, that we get a chance to speak into their hearts and say, hey, I care about you and I want to be with you. Admittedly, there's going to be a lot of times that you don't want to. And how do you sort through that?
Brian, I think you raise an issue, and that is how we maybe respond or the notions we cast to our children that we don't intend to. But I'm gonna paint out a situation as you talk about pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your teenager comes home with a mark or a hole in their body or colored hair or something like that. And it's easy to hit the fan with it and say, clean that up before Sunday is all I'm telling you, right? And we have this ultimatum and all of this. And I'm not even saying that you can't have that discussion, but if my child sees that this is all about Dad, and all I am is a feather in Dad's cap, and if I'm not favorable, then I need to be changed. You know, that erodes relationship, does it not?
We were sitting on the couch with our 4-year-old. She just looked at Mom and said, you know, you're going to love me even if I do bad things, right? You know, it's just like, yes.
This is a teachable moment right now. This is front lines teachable moment.
Go check the bathroom. Something's up.
Exactly. What is going on? That's your first, where my mind goes first. But two, like, that is such an important lesson that I want her to know. And I want to teach that at 4, but you're exactly right. At 15, how do they know that, no, this is not okay, and I can't endorse this behavior, but you need to know too, son, that my relationship with you is never on the chopping block.
So then you get to really distinguish between the person and the behaviors, you know, and sometimes we're easy to lump those all together. And your behavior is who you are.
Yeah.
It defines you. It is you. And to be able to keep that separate, as our Heavenly Father is able to keep that separate in
okay,
us.
Okay, I want to ask something directly, just because working in this agency, and I know some of the work that you counselors do, and one large thing that surfaces this misidentity piece.
Mm.
People don't understand their own identity in Christ, and misplaced identity. And so I want you to speak to that now, that we have an opportunity to help teach good identity concepts, that you are my son and what it means for you to be my son and my daughter.
What a wonderful key. If we can help our kids to understand that. And in that, particularly as they get older, as you give the example of a teenager, there has to be a place for open dialogue and say, okay, they're already going to know that you don't like the earring that's in their ear. So to go into the sermon of why you don't like it is going to be one approach versus the, hey, we didn't ever talk about this and you're coming home and you know how I feel about this, but can we talk about this? And for them to be able to sort through, what does this look like? Okay, Mom and Dad wants this, but relationship's still in place. What a great way to facilitate identity. It says, okay, we're asking that child to sort through in their own heart what they believe about this or don't believe when they're still under our roof. And what a great place to form identity.
Hmm. Think about Jesus and how he modeled this so amazingly in the New Testament. He engaged them first, you know, with a question, you know, hey. And so he'd always start with that question. He just engaged with them first. And then he would let communication happen. And then he looked at the influence piece. Sometimes as parents, I think we have to come in with the influence sledgehammer.
I think a very common a parenting approach is, I don't like what you're doing, so I'm going to give you the silent treatment, or you're going to feel my wrath. And you don't see Christ doing that. You see him, if he's frustrated with what's going on, he does. He engages them, and he talks to them, and they know where they stand. But it's very different than this, hey, you can only be with me if you do what I like, and if you don't, then not interested at all.
So we're talking about relationships, and what happens when one of your children are bringing a challenge back to the home. And let's take a moment and say, how does that reflect then the mom and dad and even their relationship as husband and wife? Because what happens if that starts to stress that husband and wife relationship? So it is so important that we keep maintaining the beauty and the strength of your marital relationship during these child-rearing years, because there'll be times that that might get stretched and that might get strained.
And to provide a little bit of scope then, as we move on to the next conversation here, this relationship piece is critical for our former conversation to be effective, mm-hmm. for us to be able to instruct and to train. Mm-hmm. And to that having a relationship with our child is critically important.
It is. It is critically important. And in that, too, the other thing I would encourage parents with is that you've got to be able to manage your own emotions in these conversations. Like, you're going to get fearful when your child comes home and says, you know what, I'm not really sure what I believe about homosexuality. Like, you're going to go panic mode inside, but how do you stay calm enough to keep talking with them and saying, oh, help me understand, and I want to know you, and I want to understand, so that you can help formulate a biblical understanding of those things is huge.
And that relationship allows for that conversation
right.
to happen.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Seek first to understand, you know, ask those questions, then to be understood. We can't pour into a cup that's full. We have to let them pour out of some of where they're at. Then their cup's a little bit empty. Then that gives us an opportunity to pour.
So as we look at that shepherd model, not only does we have the voice element, but we also have the touch element. Mm-hmm. How important is touch when it comes to...
Yeah, touch speaks so much. You know, when you think about how you interact with a friend on a Sunday afternoon, or you think about any type of meaningful relationship, touch is a huge part of that. And in this context of a parent-child relationship, it's no less important.
Touch is under fire, though, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, with the dreadful things that have happened, abuse, I mean, it all makes sense on why we've come to a place where teachers cannot touch students.
Yeah, and it can make us as parents very anxious.
Like, yes,
how
for sure.
Where's the line, and what's okay and what's not okay? And unfortunately, then we, especially as fathers, I think, can err on the side of, okay, I'm going to not touch my kids, particularly my daughters, as they're going into puberty and they're starting to develop. And that can be really hard for fathers, but it's so important. That's when they need good, you know, appropriate touch from their fathers, and we're running away from it.
Yeah.
They're growing in that awareness of that. They're seeing maybe their friends, you know, get boyfriends, or the boys get girlfriends. They're starting to see some of that other growth of physical touch, and it's a beautiful thing. And we need to be supplying that to them. We need to be letting them know, oh, I'm going to put my arms around you. I'm going to grab your arm for a moment and just connect with you in that.
So there's a security piece that we propagate through touch.
Mm-hmm. It sends a huge message. It sends a huge message of, you know what, you are a part of me, and I'm so thankful to be your dad. I'm so thankful to be your mom, and I'm just going to pull you close for a minute, and I just want you to know that. And as our kids get older, sometimes we have to be a little more selective and intentional of the timing of those pieces, mm-hmm. but they are still significant nonetheless.
Yeah, and you'll never hear it from your child. Well, you probably won't hear it from them, but it's something that they're yearning, you know, that they would love to be able to sit down next to you and sit on the couch and you put your arm around them. Or, you know, for guys to be able to, you know, you pop your son on the shoulder when he walks by. You know, just that, that's a good, healthy bonding sort of thing that we need to be able to do.
You know, I was walking down the road and I rested my hand on my wife's neck. You know, I just rested my hand on my wife's neck as we were walking together. And she said, oh, that reminds me of my dad and my grandpa.
Oh, wow.
You know, that just that touch mm-hmm. brought back mm-hmm. those feelings like, oh, that's how grandpa would walk with me, you know? It was pretty special.
That is very special. What a neat thing that grandpa was able to touch her heart in that way. And, oh, how cool.
Our relationship with God as believers is a father to a son. We are sons of his and daughters of his, right? That's the relationship standing we become. So knowing and working and walking in that relationship of father and son is incredibly impactful and important for a believer. And we have the opportunity as parents to do that with our children, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that provides so much hope and so much context and so much grounding to implement.
And God has given us this tool, relationship. He's given us that as a way to move us in that direction.
To do that. Thank you for this. We've got one more episode that we'll talk about, and that is discipline. We look forward to that. We've mentioned this before to our listeners, but you will find on our website at accounseling.org, if you go to the parenting tab, you will find a great deal of information. You'll find some of the content that we've even shared here. We offer that to you to be a resource and to be a help.